ghastly, ghoulish dream. Astray on astral planes, alone. I have seen a ghost, a maiden misty-eyed. So silently she glides alone, alone, lonely forevermore, alone. I have seen betrayed a billion years alone, alone, lonely forevermore,
to me when I was like thee.
Konkolewski is director of the state chapter of the Mutual UFO Network for Michigan. MUFON is the largest civilian UFO research organization in the world. Konkolewski's media exposure has included television appearances on ABC's Peter Jennings, Seeing is Believing, and Sci-Fi Channel's Abduction Diaries. He has also worked as a consultant to the History Channel's UFO Hunters, and is a listed contributor to the books Filer's Files, Worldwide Reports of UFO Sightings by George Filer and David Twitchell, as well as Weird Michigan, your travel guide to Michigan's local legends and best-kept secrets by Linda Godfrey.
Yeah, we've had her. She's dropped in before.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Konkolewski can regularly be seen delivering public lectures in the Detroit area on UFOs and related phenomena. The website is www.mimufon.org. That's MIMUFON.org. And welcome back to Ghostly Talk, Bill.
Thanks for having me back.
You were here not... What are you doing here?
You're here. First of all, you're not on the phone. You're in studio. That is so awesome.
Yeah. And you're one of the, I guess you're one of the proud few because you're, yeah, you've been on the show. This is your second time. First of all, I think you got like maybe the closest gap as far as like visits to the show. And you also have to put under your cap is you've actually been on the show. Usually people just phone in and stuff like that, but you've been here. So that's, mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah. You got a record here. We got to give you a plaque or something like that.
Cause we were with, we got to see Bill speak at the, Michigan,
You're going to figure this out on your own. I'm done.
It's going to be difficult. It's the one by...
Cindy's listening.
The one by Cindy's Groove. It was in Garden City.
Okay.
Michigan Ghost Watchers Convention.
You got
conference,
it.
Michigan yeah. Ghostbusters Conference.
You got it.
It was just back in October, yeah. early October.
So you're here again. And, yeah, we like we said before, we got to see you speak at the conference. And I think I told you, you know, not just weeks ago, really, because it was just weeks ago you were on the show, that it was a lot of fun. We had really enjoyed your talk. And
thank you.
Now, this was recent, too. You guys actually just had a gathering not too long ago.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago in November.
Even if I wanted to go, I was on my deathbed with a cold over the, you know, over that weekend, so I wasn't able to make it. I know our very own Tom Mott actually went, and I think, didn't we have one of our other people?
Did he wear a tinfoil hat?
Yes, Jackowitz.
Wait a minute. Huh?
There was another gentleman there that was also at the paranormal conference, as well as Chris Bailey was there.
Chris Bailey, no, that's what I was saying. Yeah, Chris Bailey showed up there too, which is again, we got a reunion because your wife's sitting behind me here in the studio, who we went to school together. Chris Bailey, we all went to school together, and now we're all kind of hanging out again, which is really cool. How did that go? I mean, because I told you at the conference, I'm like, okay, look, I really want to get involved with MUFON. I wanted to start doing some stuff, to which I have not done a damn thing yet, of course.
Yeah, his follow-up.
That's my follow-up completely sucks. but how did that go? As far as these galleries are concerned, would you guys do that at this particular gallery?
At all of them, we have a field investigator training in the morning, which is where we have a gentleman that's been one of our senior investigators for several decades now, Gary Gollum.
Mm-hmm.
He went over some different aspects of investigating UFOs with the group, as well as did some role-playing. It was actually the largest class that I've ever seen this last November, so that was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the brunch. We always have a nice brunch to break things up. And then for our afternoon speaker, we had Dr. Chuck Lietzau, who investigates just about anything you can imagine and does it quite well. Crop circles, UFOs, Bigfoot, ghosts, orbs, just the whole line.
Well, that actually makes me, that's interesting, because I'm sure you have people, like, you know, in our, you know, doing the show and in our field of study, we obviously, with the show, we cross boundaries left and right within the paranormal, and we've learned that the paranormal is just, it's a huge, you know, group of things. It isn't just ghosts or UFOs or anything like that. Do you have a lot of people that are involved with MUFON or, you know, that you come in contact with that kind of cross over, like, all these different things?
I would say probably most, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you guys saw us speak at the conference, and that was something, I think, a point we really drove home was that, you know, we're convinced that there's something going on. I mean, in any of these different categories, I guess we can call them that.
But then you take them collectively, and it's
what's
wow,
the glue? What's the glue here?
Yeah,
right?
What is the glue? You know what? I have to stop you there for a minute, because normally we don't have any cause or reason to ask the guests what they're wearing, but in this particular case, because you happen to be in the studio, I can see you're wearing some kind of shirt with some kind of saying on it. Ah, okay. I could see the alien guy, right, on the shirt, and it said, keep on, and then I had no clue what, because, you know, you're...
Keep on abducting.
Keep on abducting.
Yeah, it's kind of a play off the keep on trucking.
Yeah.
Keep on trucking, keep on
That's
abducting.
Cool.
And he's got the you know, the I'm cool, like... I don't know.
Yeah, because that's what they do, I'm sure. I've seen Fire in the Sky, man. I don't want to get abducted by anything.
They're not like that.
I hope not. If you ever want to freak my girlfriend out, Amber, make her watch that film. She despises it.
That's another thing. I've run into more people now in the ghost hunting community and the different people that I get to talk to going around to all the conventions and things.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to a lot of people who are absolutely terrified, including Amber, of anything related to UFOs or aliens.
Mm-hmm. I could, you know, just throwing out a particular guest, a guess that is, with ghosts, you know, there's that sort of non-physical element to it.
Yeah, right. Okay. I know, well, that's why I keep what I've been saying about, you know, and I've been trying to make this kind of shift and start studying UFO stuff more. Like, the guy that really inspired me was on maybe a few months ago, Ted Phillips. I don't know if we talked about him or not.
Oh, I did go back through your archives.
Did you listen to that show?
Yeah, excellent.
That guy is fantastic. And, I mean, the approach they had to, you know, studying this phenomena, more of a kind of like a CSI for, you know, like, you know, let's go to the place and see, okay, something happened there. That's great. Let's go there and investigate the scene now. Let's not try to see what's in the sky. Let's try to see what's on the ground or whatever and see if we can get any type of trace stuff. And that just blew me away because there is that tangible thing involved with the
UFO. Physicality.
Yeah, there's something, you know, there is this physicality, with, you know, where with the paranormal, with ghosts and stuff like that, and it's, you know, kind of, hey, whatever you like the most, there is this non-tangible thing that, you know, kind of drives you nuts after a while. This is after years of doing research and stuff like that. So that's why, yeah, UFO hunting and this particular thing is just amazing to me.
Oh, my turn?
Oh, I thought you were giving me the, you were darting me the eyes, so I'm like, okay,
no, I was sitting on the edge of my seat wondering what you were going to say.
That was complete crap. Anyway.
So I have read The Filer's Files. I was an avid...
I like grilling people like this. This is fun.
I know, I've never done this. Yeah, I have. When I ever get really into a topic, I just like grill, you know. But I used to read The Filer's Files pretty regularly. Mm-hmm. I would download it off of paranormalnews.com and read it, like every single... Was it weekly or monthly? Whatever came out,
weekly,
I would grab it and and read it. And it's essentially a collection of reports. I mean, just the one-liner kind of things, you know, maybe a little paragraph, but not like obviously an entire case file, right? Mm-hmm. But most of these really are entire case files. I mean, because you guys, when you go out into, you know, you hear a report, you do a lot of research to support a conclusion one way or the other, don't you? I mean, there's the interviews, but there's also, you know, calling around to, you know, local authorities, and there's a whole thing that, of research that MUFON does with every case file that you choose to report on.
Yeah, certainly. When you see Filer's Files, it's mostly unfiltered. You get a lot of raw data. Somebody said they saw this. And that's before investigators have a chance to go out and really get their teeth into it.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the things that are reported to us are people who say they see flits of light in the sky that will last a few seconds, and usually they overestimate the amount of time that they think they see them. And for those cases, you know, we do record them, we do put them away, and we're very glad to hear about them. But, yeah, there are those select few that require multiple investigators going out and taking measurements. There was one I was at a few years ago. We took a radiation detector out. Thankfully, wow. Didn't find anything.
Yes, you do still have your hair, so that's right. Yes.
But, and that's, of course, the very exciting part. Any day, you know, you could wake up and there will be that, you know, the red phone will be ringing, so to speak. You know, the MUFON headquarters will say, yeah, we have the top one to investigate.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen some pretty interesting stuff over the past couple months, too. Is it stuff that is really making us say, wow, this, you know, just doesn't slow down. It just keeps going. It's just really weird stuff.
What are some of the earmarks? Because you're talking about, like, you know, and we get the same stuff with ghost hunting stuff where we get a case or something like that, and somebody's like, well, you know, they'll give you a lot of, like, trace things as far as, yeah, I think you're not really seeing a ghost. There's these things. And it sounds like you guys kind of go through the same stuff where you check, you hear the information, you've heard it before. And it's not that you're bored. It's just, okay, I think I know what's going on here. But I'm wondering what some of, like, the... Like some of the earmarks are that make you kind of your antlers pop up where you're like, this may be something we want to look into. I'm wondering if there's some things that you guys look for.
Are you gonna give away secrets? Like,
oh yeah,
we always listen for the phrase "silver pants," and then we know we're really into it. We've got to go and really investigate this.
Well, one thing that I don't think is a gauge is how unusual the account is, because some very credible people have said some very interesting things, and so we don't discount it out of hand just based on how sensational it sounds. But one of the things that excites us is if more than one person has seen it.
Oh, okay.
Also, if they actually see structure to what they're looking at rather than possibly just a light, if something has been reported to have landed, that really gets us excited because we have people that can go out and check into that kind of a thing too. Basically, the more visceral, the more hands-on, the more people, sometimes if the witness happens to be a pilot or a police officer, that's that's very exciting there because you know they're more trained witnesses and in often cases would have something to lose by reporting to us. And we take the information in and we as best as you know we can you know satisfy them that you know they'll remain anonymous and you know which is something that we totally respect.
Yeah. Completely. Yeah, and I'm probably going to get 1,000 fiery emails for that comment I made about ghost hunting, too. Because we've heard that before. You know, there's been some stories we've gotten where it's like, okay, you know what? I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, but that's not a ghost.
I'm not going to your house. You're high. Okay, go away. No, no. I mean, but there's things, there's earmarks that we hear, though, too. You know,
when you deal with the public in any sense. I mean, this is obviously maybe even a little bit more leaning toward the insane.
Now watch out, man, because Bill's going to come across a table and take your head off.
But there's when you deal with the public in any sense, you're always taking a risk of getting some, you know, some people who may not be able to accurately describe what they're going through or what they're thinking, because it's all happening in their head. Well, speaking of which, have you ever tried to describe a dream?
Okay.
Sure. I mean, you've tried. And did you ever feel at the end of describing the dream, like, that's only like even half of it, but it kind of gets the point across? I mean, because it just seems to me that when I try to describe a dream, and I'm not going to do it, but
it's
when.
It's about me anyway, so whatever.
But when you describe a dream, when I describe a dream, I always end up with, like, you know, well, okay, well, these people were there, and we were in this place, and then this happened. But when I was, like, experiencing the dream, it was, like just so incredibly intense. You know, there was so much more information that I could pack into that story. But, you know, in the interest of expediency, I just, like, describe who was there, what we were doing, and where we were. So, I mean, it's got to be similar to that. Like, when you have this experience, this UFO experience, or this ghost experience, right? And you try to describe it to somebody. I mean, that's got to be, you know, how can you take this testimony down?
Well,
and you can't fill in the blanks because if you're doing it scientifically, you know you've got to just say, okay, well, this is exactly what they said. That's all we can count.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
In our report forms, we do take into account any sort of emotional or anything else that comes into it. There's a separate spot for items like that, but we take it all into account.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty thorough.
Well, no, I think hindsight's always going to give you less detail. I mean, I don't think the human mind really, and this is really digging deep into the experience of UFOs. But I mean,
I know we're totally.
But no, this is cool because, I mean, yeah, anything you see, I mean, we just get on talking with Jeff Danik about. I mean, you take 10 people and you let them see the same thing. You're going to get 10 different perceptions of a situation, right? Yeah. And obviously what you guys are looking for is, like, you know, you want to get multiple people seeing things that there may have different perceptions, right? But it'll all kind of be still surrounded around the same. Okay, it was cylindrical. Okay, and it had, like, you know, like a red light on the side. And if people are like, yeah, it had like a pinkish kind of colored, you know, you're looking for these ear, you know, like I said, earmarks where they could be different, right? They could be, you know, whatever these people thought they saw, but they're all going to kind of surround the same thing, which is probably one of your strongest earmarks is, you know, how many, you know, multiple sightings with the same information coming back from these people, correct?
Right, and when we take these reports in, and we've had, looks like we're going to hit somewhere near about 150 sightings reported for this year.
Wow.
It's definitely enough data to be able to draw some sort of conclusions of, like, yes, several people are seeing triangle shapes. Mm-hmm. Yes, disc shapes are still popular. Abductions are still going on.
Mm-hmm.
To make any sort of conclusive decisions, we hope to really get the attention of the wider scientific community to come in and take a look at our data, which will, gladly work with them to help us out.
Okay.
Speaking of abductions, For some reason, I have this thing in my head, and I'm sure.
I thought you were gonna tell the
yeah. Story. No, I don't have like a thing in my head. Like a no, nothing was planted there. No, I have this idea in my head, and an implant. No, I just have an idea in my head that, and it's probably from a movie, right? Of an alien abduction is you're like sleeping at night, and then all of a sudden, like some heads come up in your window, and they're like looking at you, and they're beeping and bopping, and then your body somehow floats up and then floats out the window and into your craft or into a craft. And I'm thinking, okay, it can't happen quite that way, obviously, but it, you know, it might, but you know, that's obviously
totally that sounds like something that would be in a movie.
That sounds like a movie abduction, yeah. But okay, so but this abduction thing that happens, then I mean, I know it's a very real thing. People have really reported this,
yes.
Right? But have there been like people see somebody getting abducted? Because even with you said Fire in the Sky, he had run into the woods.
Well, that's what the, I mean. I don't. Every single film out there, it seems like they're always like tagging them with based on a true story, right? And Travis Walton, I don't know how much of that film, and Bill, you might be able to chime in on this. I don't know if you've ever seen the film or not, but you know, yeah, it's supposed to be an account, you know, from Travis Walton and the rest of his friends and stuff that witnessed this whole thing. I don't know exactly how much of that's true, though, right? So I mean,
very little.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Because I mean, there's been all types of talking. Yeah. Tell me. I want to hear about this because, I mean, we were actually trying to get Travis Walton on the show for a very long time. We just couldn't match schedules up. So I'd like to hear what you have to say about this.
Now, in the movie, if you remember, when he gets taken up, he finds himself in some sort of cocoon with all sorts of other people. And
that's
sort
what scares
of
the hell out of Amber, by the way. Sorry.
Type of a cocoon.
Yeah.
And then he gets out and he sort of just kind of tools around the UFO until he's captured by the little guys, and stick him down at the table, and all of a sudden you see this big long needle thing coming at him, and all of that is not true.
That was just all Hollywood.
The rest of the part, the rest of the movie, pretty accurate.
Oh, okay.
Except the part when he's on the UFO.
So Hollywood did that part just to make it disturbing and interesting for the viewer, then, more or less.
Right, yeah. In a nutshell, what had happened to him is when he got on the craft, he did find himself on a table, and he saw these little guys around him, and he actually managed to push them away, physically push them away, which he said made them nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And so he started walking around the craft, found out he was in a little UFO on a bigger UFO, and saw some other people that looked mostly human-like, and they came over, and they sort of anesthetized him. And then he woke up in the street.
Oh, okay. And he did what I thought would be the logical thing to do in that situation. He pushed them around. Because, I mean, yeah, there were these little guys you mentioned. It's like, okay, look, just give them a couple of cracks on the head, man. They'll back off, I think. I don't, you know, well, I don't know. We're talking about things that we have no idea about. But he pushed them, and they backed away. They got nervous. This big, strong person made whatever. Okay, fine. So that's more or less your take on that, though. So that's cool.
Well, that's the story.
That's the story,
yeah,
though.
If you pick up, his book on it, that's a... You know, that's what...
I'll be honest, I have not read the book. I saw the film, and like I said, we talked about having him on the show, which we probably would have learned that if we ever could have got him on. But a lot of people say that, you know, I have read things, you know, as we know everything on the internet's true, but I have read stuff on the web that, you know, people have, you know, there have been... We have proof that Travis Walton's a liar, and it's all been made up, and it was done for that. So it goes back and forth, just like the ghost hunting community, too.
But do people see other people actually get, like, okay,
yes.
So I'm, they do?
Yep.
And does it happen in a beam of light, or is it more like...
That's how we got on this thing. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I wonder how we got.
Usually what'll happen is the witness to the event will become paralyzed and watch as the grays take their selected target out of the environment. And yeah, there's a lot of floating through walls. And it's rare, certainly. There's no question about that. But yeah, there is enough of it. There's one really dramatic example of it, which was recorded in Bud Hopkins' book, Witnessed, where several people... in New York, actually, witnessed a woman getting abducted out of her apartment. And the story goes that UN Secretary General at the time actually witnessed it. DeQuaylar, I believe it was the guy's name, and mm-hmm. his bodyguards. And that his bodyguards just went nuts. They had a real issue with having seen that.
Well, of course I can see their uneasiness, because first of all, it's like weird stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And then second of all, how are you going to protect, if you're in the business or profession of being a bodyguard, how can you protect somebody from something like that? You know, mm-hmm. I mean,
it has to
hit them in several levels.
You say this paralyzed thing, that the viewer is paralyzed. Are they paralyzed because of some unseen force, or are they just paralyzed by going, wow?
Generally, we find a paralysis hits mm-hmm. Before the actual onset of the abduction.
Okay. So, I mean, this is something that's induced then, more or less.
Correct, yeah.
Wow.
But the technology behind it, because, I mean, if... I would think that if somebody had the ability to paralyze multiple witnesses, the government would have invented it and been using on us by now. I mean, I just really do, because they just want us to sit at... Well, they have. It's called reality TV. But you just think that they would have done that, you know, mm-hmm. but the technology, is it's invisible, or is it like, you know, a blow dart? I mean, what kind of technology paralyzes, or do the experiencers just say...
Just dart you like a baby. Yeah.
So there felt a little bing on the back of my neck, and then suddenly I couldn't move.
And no. I saw a UFO, and that was it.
Or is it like invisible, like they pushed a button and boom, all the muscles seized?
It can vary. A lot of times we hear accounts where the paralysis just suddenly comes on and they don't know what caused it. Other times there are examples where the entities will have a sort of a wand and they'll tap somebody. Other times the paralysis comes in with the onset of like a color that enters the room and mm-hmm. or some sort of sense of energy that they have before the paralysis hits.
Interesting. Wow. So the delivery mechanism of the paralysis is mm-hmm. different, but it, nonetheless, the effect is the same.
Right. And there's, you know, every reason to believe that there's more than one visiting group, you know.
So there may be multiple technologies for the same kind of, interesting.
Okay.
Like Apple versus Intel, yeah.
Why don't we take a quick break?
The Power 5 chip versus...
Okay. He's starting to dwell on the... I can just see the thought bubble coming up. Let's take a quick break here.
That's a
very good idea.
I want to hear some stories.
We kind of really grilled you on all this other stuff. And, you know,
We're totally, completely, you know, blew it out of the water. But
it's really interesting stuff, though. It's
don't forget, all the music on Ghostly Talk is independent music.
Yes, it is.
So enjoy that.
You claim that's not your fault, but you don't see yourself.
we're back.
We're grilling.
Yeah, we're grilling poor
the
Bill.
The president of the Michigan state chapter of the Mutual UFO Network. We're just like totally. And then what about this? And then what about that? And we're like, well, okay, well that's probably not what he's used to.
Well, no, it's fun to be. It's fun to be a layman. It's fun to be a layman, you know, for a change, because you know it's usually we get people that are like, you know, so you know ghost stuff, and you know it's like, oh, you know, so we explain that. So it's actually fun to ask questions to somebody on a subject like this, and that, you know, even they may start, even some maybe even ridiculous questions, but you know, there's you know, the sky's the limit with this stuff, in my opinion. So it's really cool to hear, you know, some ideas on abductions, for example. Like, you know, that's a great question, Doug, to ask. Like, you know, has people witnessed this stuff for real? Witnessed an abduction?
Right. I mean, because, you know, I'm only what I've seen in the movies or what I've read things on in Filer's Files, but I haven't, you know, it's I don't get a chance to study the UFOs as much as I would like to.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but,
so.
And if we're plugging other books, another big thing, and I may be anticipating a question that you have, is, you know, when you talk about...
He's psychic now. Yeah. That's a different show. Yeah.
When you talk about getting, like, waking up out of bed and getting floated out the, mm-hmm. the wall, you know, that there is actually a lot of that, but if people think that's all there is to it, and I mentioned Bud Hopkins already, his book, Missing Time, is excellent. Because all of the cases in there, not a single one of them that is of these cases, is one of those things where somebody found themselves paralyzed in bed. So they're all, you know, I was driving, you know, I went by mm-hmm. the park, et cetera, et cetera.
Before, I know we want to get into some actual sightings that are recent.
But first we have to say the website,
oh,
for
yeah,
those of you looking into it, is www.mimufon.org. So it's the Michigan MUFON.org.
Yeah, and I totally forgot what I was going to ask Bill now.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay, Doug. No problem at all.
I was sitting there holding the paper in my hand.
Did you want me to predict?
Yeah. Can you read his mind from a bit ago? Okay. Time traveling UFOs.
Yeah, you get it.
Do they travel in time, or are they, like, is there any of that, or?
There's a lot of literature that out there that suggests that, or at least questions it, and it seems like a better than fair question, because it's hard to imagine what people will look like in, you know, thousands of years,
right.
And, of course, one would think that in thousands of years we'd have perfected time travel. So a very strong theory about UFOs is that they're us in the future coming back, doing their best to observe us, but not interfere too badly.
Just all cattle mutilation.
Or come back and laugh. Look how stupid we were back then. Look at us.
Do you know anybody who, have you talked to anybody physically, like yourself, who believes they have an, you know, because I mentioned implant in the last half hour, that I don't have one that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
Have you talked to anybody who believes they have one?
Oh, sure. Actually, several people. A close friend of ours, David Kaywood, who had passed a few years back, had a brain scan with one in the base of his skull. And he had the x-ray, and he would gladly show it off.
But he had actual proof.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, he's passed now, but yeah, that was one of the more interesting ones. There's another gentleman who lives in Michigan who showed up at an abduction gathering a few years back, and he said, "Feel this, it's in my arm." And sure enough, you would pinch his arm, you could feel something under there. He goes, "Yeah, they put that in there." He goes, "But whenever I think I'm going to try to take it out, it starts to drive deeper into my arm," and he goes, "I don't want that to happen. So you can feel it, but just don't try to take it out." And that was kind of unsettling.
It feels like it's driving deeper into his arm when he tries to pull it out, or?
Correct. Whenever he, I know this is going on the Twilight Zone.
No, that's
possibly, but he said it seemed to be aware when his intent was to remove it.
Oh, that's a trip.
And it would sort of burrow in deeper into his arm, and so
gross.
But most of the time, it would just hang out below skin surface.
Well, did he? Stupid question. I have to ask it. Did he ever have a doctor look at it or anything? Or I mean, maybe I'm overthinking this, but I mean,
I can't say for sure. One would think maybe you'd want to.
Well, yeah. I mean, if I had something burrowing into my arm, the first place I'm going to see my doctor and go, look, get it out. I don't care where it is. You can take it to whatever anybody you want. Just get it out of my arm. Because that would really scare the crap out of me. That's something you said, it would burrow. This was a mental thing, too, it sounds like. I mean, not just physical where, you know, he's trying to tug on it and the thing just burrows in. It sounds like what you said is that this thing knew what his intent
mm-hmm.
was to remove it, too, mm-hmm. when it would start to burrow. No, not for me. As a matter of fact, I'm getting creeped out. Let's talk about some sightings or something now.
With perhaps...
Now I understand Amber's problem with this stuff. That really kind of just put the hook in you, Bill.
You said 2008 might be 150
in Michigan.
Case file year here in Michigan.
And which is double last year.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You mentioned that. Why? Can I ask you why?
I think it's awareness and a little bit more openness out in the public. Uh-huh. Cable now is just deluged with different UFO shows, and people yeah. are hungry mm-hmm. for more, and they'll look online, and, you know, thankfully for us, they're finding us and reporting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The type of stuff that's being reported now is the type of stuff that's been reported for several years. We're just getting more of it now because I think of public awareness.
Okay, well, I have to ask this, though, too. I mean, because this is... We're experiencing the same influx with the ghost hunting thing, too. As you're aware, there's lots of TV shows now out there. There's lots of people playing together groups and things like that. And, yeah, I think awareness is a big thing. When you're conscious of something, you're going to pay attention to it, obviously. That's huge, and I totally acknowledge that. But as far as, do you think maybe, how do I say this nice? I'm not trying to, like, be a jerk, but I think you know what I'm getting at. As far as, like, more sightings and stuff like that, could this be, well, there it happens in our field. You know,
Me Too syndrome?
The Me Too syndrome,
or
jumping on the bandwagon.
Keeping up with the Joneses.
Whatever it may be, something like that. I mean, it's really a ridiculous thing, but, I mean, do you think there may be a part of that, too? It's maybe a small percentage or something like that? I'm just wondering if there's any differences between, like, the UFO community and the paranormal community.
I imagine if you were going to the same neighborhood, because, see, usually I see that happen myself. I don't know about in the UFO stuff, but I see that happen myself with, you know, you're standing there telling somebody,
yeah.
and I saw this ghost, and it was 10 feet tall, and it was wearing chains. And then somebody will, you know, come around the corner, and they obviously couldn't help over here, and they're like, well, when I saw a ghost, it was 20 feet tall, and it was not only in chains, but it was also in silver pants, you know, or mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm on a silver pants kick, but...
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know. Anyway, they have to one-up, you know, that's actually some kind of psychological thing, but I don't know if, seems like when you guys get reports, it's more like, you know, anonymous tip line kind of thing, mm-hmm. and then a typewritten thing into the web. It's not like mm-hmm. you go door to door. Did you see the UFO that you know your neighbor did?
And we do that sometimes, sure.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm. Do you?
Mm-hmm.
No one ever asked me.
What, are your neighbors saw you?
Well, no,
I don't know, but if they had, I don't know it now.
I mean, I was just curious about that. Simply, you know,
they should canvass the neighborhood.
You know, once you get a lot of meat.
Go ahead.
Are you all set?
A lot
over
of
there?
Meat.
Go. Once you get a lot of media exposure like that, I mean, you again, I'm cool with the awareness thing. I think that's great. I mean, I think it's good for the, you know, ghost hunting thing. I think it's awesome for UFO stuff, too. Mm-hmm. But I just think there is that, unfortunately, there's just that part of it where some people just, and it's been proven before, there have been cases of people faking stuff, as a matter of fact. You know, whether it be from the ghost hunting side or...
Bigfoot. They just Bigfoot.
You hear about
hoax.
The whole Bigfoot
thing? Georgia, yeah.
Oh.
How pathetic was that? I mean, that's an example right there. And it really is a bad thing that brings down all these studies where people that really care, like yourself, obviously, it's a bummer for people that are like us, too, you know, where we really are 190% honest about everything.
But there
you know?
Is some kind of mentality, and you've got to watch for that. I mean, because the fellow was on medical leave from being a sheriff or whatever.
Which gave him some credibility. We just talked about that earlier.
Which seems to be mm-hmm. a public-facing mm-hmm. job, somebody who's out
point,
there
yeah.
trained
yeah,
to, you know. And then you're like, Oh, great. He's totally made up a Bigfoot. He bought a Bigfoot.
Well, it's disheartening. I think you see what I'm saying, though, and I think you know what I'm talking about also. It's one of those things I'm just curious about that, too. But it sounds like, you know, the awareness thing is the biggest part, so that's cool. That's just a big jump from to double in 1 year. It's a lot.
But overall, you're saying it's like double the number of reports, but that may not be indicative of the number of sightings.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a function more of awareness and TV, but there may actually be the same amount of sightings, just some go unreported, right?
Yeah, I'm sure that the great majority of them get unreported, mm-hmm. or sometimes reported to other UFO groups. A couple points to touch on. One is with regards to the sheriff down in Georgia. Sure, the law enforcement can, you know, somebody in law enforcement can be as dishonest as anybody. Certainly, uh-huh. there's, you know, corruption stories that you hear about in police and stuff.
Yeah, we live in Detroit. I think we know all about that.
But if
Kwame, say that in one word.
but if you take the witness as credible and they happen to be a police officer, then they can often give you a better account based upon
their training.
Yeah, exactly. And with regards to people reporting things,
mm-hmm.
I would think that if people were starting to report things simply because they got excited, they heard other people reporting stuff, that we would be seeing a lot more interesting accounts than we do. People pretty much shoot from the hip, say, you know, this is all I saw. It was this flash of light. It took a 90-degree angle. I know, you know, meteors don't do that, and I just wanted to let you know that's about it. Are we done now? You know,
okay,
that kind of a thing.
They don't try to start up like their own UFO tour, like through the country or something like that. I mean,
there were a ghost thing.
I'm just kidding.
Now the marketing.
Maybe this just okay. Now I'm being a real prick, so I'm just gonna let it go. No, I just see that with ghost
they
stuff.
Have a pilot.
You know, it just seems like there's more haunted places. Now all of a sudden, every place we go to, there's more haunted places out there. There's all these haunted places popping up out of nowhere that have this history of hauntings, and it's like, wait a minute, this place was a Walmart last week. What are you talking about, right? So, I mean, I'm not trying to equate that to the UFO thing. And you answer that question, great, I think, where, you know, hey, look, if it was people, like, into the whole sensationalism thing, they would be like, I was on a shit, man.
Sensational. Yeah.
So, okay, all right, I'm not going to beat that thing to death. I am looking at this picture here. It's been driving me insane, and we don't have a lot of time here because we've really just been grilling this poor gentleman the whole time.
I wanted to hear all
of
Did you
want me to hold it up for the listening audience?
Yeah, please.
Hold that up for the listening audience.
That's one of the perks of being a host of this show is we get to see this stuff. What is this, Bill?
One of our witnesses, I'll touch on the account first. Back in September, on September 5th, a gentleman had an experience where he woke up at 5 a.m. and he was outside of his home,
mm-hmm.
and he witnessed two unusual-looking UFOs in the sky. Noticed that there were two other people that were strangers to him also in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
Then, as he looked up at the sky appeared to crack open, and instead of being like a dark sort of night sky, it was a daytime sky, and these two craft flew into it. And he also had mentioned, during that brief time also, that there were, what he said, some grays in attendance. Mm-hmm. And so the next morning, when he woke up, his wife had already left the house for the day, and so he decided to call her up and tell her about it. And when he called her, the first thing out of his wife's mouth was that she couldn't believe that their daughter was so scared the previous night for seeing these lights flying around their house that she had to sleep in the room with them.
Wow.
And so I brought a picture because just to show you guys and to be able to describe the unusual craft that he saw.
I have to ask. This is a rendering.
Yes.
Like, okay. All right.
This is not a real UFO picture.
No, I'm like, Bill, what the heck is this thing, man?
It fought Johnny Sacco, and he made a model of the UFO, not to make too light of it, because a good job, obviously, on creating it, and certainly there's limitations when you use household objects to create an object, but it was basically a red modeled sort of sphere, mm-hmm. with a couple of beams shooting out of it at 80-degree angles, in which there were strange markings on it. Which is out of the norm for most crafts, certainly, that we see that tend
to be
either
first I've ever seen.
Discs or triangles. But it does give us something interesting in that if we look at some of our sightings back through the years, and again, this is a fresh sighting, we haven't found anything just yet, but if there is anything that matches a unique shape like this, then, you know, it's noteworthy.
Okay. Did he get the impression that the beams were a propulsion kind of system, or were they just there? Did he get any ideas as to how it functioned?
Well, one of our investigators for Michigan MUFON, John Castle, was the person that had actually gone out to investigate this directly. I hadn't heard anything in terms of speculation about why the craft was a particular shape, which actually, in one sense, I think lends to credibility. Mm-hmm. You know, if somebody was going to make something up, you know, they would put stuff on it that would seem to make sense, a giant antenna on top or, you know, arms coming out the side or something to grab them and put them in the ship or something unusual like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. That thing is really weird looking.
It is.
And I've never, I honestly, I can say that I've never seen anything like that before.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's definitely unique and I'm getting creeped out, man. So there's been some sightings. We got a few minutes here, and really want
to... another one. Recently, very much around the same date, it was Labor Day weekend that most of this was focused.
This is all inclusive to Michigan, I assume.
Yes. The what I was talking about just a second ago, that was in Hamilton, Michigan, which is kind of in the Holland Grand Rapids area.
Mm-hmm.
And this
Ooh,
next...
that's by Amber.
Yeah.
Oh. Don't warn her. She doesn't want to know.
She'll be moving here.
Yes. She'll be here. I'm in the next apartment over.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And one in Chelsea, Michigan is about the next one I'm about to bring up, where a gentleman over Labor Day weekend this year, for several consecutive days, at least three, saw what he described to be what he thought were craft at least a mile in diameter, with flashing lights all over it, performing just these crazy dynamic maneuvers. And his wife also, he brought her out at one point to see it, and she looked at it for a little bit and said she was bored and going back in the house. But he wouldn't see it.
Boy, that's pretty lame. I'm going to go back inside and watch Good Times.
but he
reality TV is on in the house.
Yeah.
I don't know why you're not watching it. The government says it's good for you.
Sorry, Bill.
But no problem. So each night he had actually, and it's not, he was, you know, obviously pretty scared, and he had seen these things for several hours each of these nights.
Mm-hmm.
And then to top it off, right, the guy is a truck driver, heads out on one of his longer hauls, and proceeds to see these same UFOs in four of the states he's driving through. So Texas, Oklahoma, Indiana, Illinois, I believe, were the states.
That's the country. I mean, pretty much that's a huge gap. I mean, to see the same things over and over again.
I don't think our current technology could keep something a mile long or a mile wide or whatever in the air.
Well, here's the thing. I want to comment on this. Sorry, Doug, I didn't mean to cut you off.
I did.
Because you
don't. I know. I've been in a mood all day.
So I'll cut you both off and say we're still looking into this. and so it's the verdict's
case.
Not in yet, but this is a very fascinating one. We're very interested in.
We had a gentleman on a few weeks ago named Glenn Kimball, who was not. Yeah, this is like beginning of middle of November, and he talked about because he's been doing some work with UFOs and stuff like that. And he has talked about seeing, he said the same thing. This is why it was interesting to see this, because he said he was out doing some observing, and they observed these objects that were like a mile in size, like, you know, long and wide. He said the same thing, Bill. So I find that, I mean, I can put you in touch with him if you want, but, When I saw this, that popped up in my mind that he said the same thing. I don't know if a mile has anything, you know, if it's any type of value or something that means something. But, I mean, I'm just telling you that there's other people that have seen this, too. I mean, not just besides these people. There's another one on here, too. We only got a couple seconds. I just want to get all these things. I know we've been trying to talk about this the whole time.
No, but we keep interrupting.
We keep killing poor Bill here.
Well, there were, yeah, I think we covered both of the ones that had happened just in the last couple months that I had suggested because they were some of the higher profile ones.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, by no means do the interesting ones stop coming in. Mm-hmm. Like I said, every day, you know, you wake up and you could see that, you know, there's another really big and interesting one. Mm-hmm. This one with that happened out in Hamilton, Michigan, happened to be one of those where we were able to send a team out to look at the ground and take soil samples and actually send it to Phyllis Budinger in Ohio, who's one of our MUFON investigators that does laboratory investigation. So far, haven't come up with anything specific of interest in this particular case, but
Is that extra mile being gone, though. That's why I respect you folks at MUFON, because you guys really do go and get these samples, and that's why I think it makes the whole UFO phenomena or hunting or do you guys actually you don't call yourself UFO hunters or anything like that, do you?
No, not in MUFON, but I mean, I guess.
So there was a time where we were like, we're ghost hunters.
Well, there's also storm chasers and weathermen. So
they're investigators. That's very much the same thing. We just investigate these things. But you guys, there is this tangible thing again, though, where you guys, soil samples. We can take these things and actually look at them and see if we can draw any type of, information out of this, which I find absolutely fascinating. We've got a couple minutes here. What's in the future for you guys? What's going on? Anything coming up? Anything new?
In terms of investigations, we have more and more field investigators all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we are anxiously awaiting a 2009 that has even more sightings than 2008.
Mm-hmm.
So we certainly are welcoming any and all help of anybody who's interested in actually getting their hands dirty and actually investigating UFO sightings.
Mm-hmm.
We have an excellent training set up for anybody who's interested in actually doing this and doing it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
We hopefully, we'll attract more members for next year and grow bigger.
Hopefully you'll have one more member at least. I'm really going to try. My follow-up work is horrendous.
I'm just kidding. Your follow-up work is actually really, really good. It's just that I know, and you know both, how crazy our time
work schedules are ridiculous as of late, and it's killing us.
Yeah.
So. Tom joined.
That's I did hear that Tom joined. He joined the collective. Tom is there.
Excellent.
And you couldn't get a better guy. Tom Mott, one of the people that he's part of Ghostly Talk. He works with Ghostly Talk. He's a fantastic guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, he's dedicated 150%, so we can't say enough nice things about him. Fortunately, unfortunately, we have to go to break here.
Bill, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for coming out here and hanging out with us, too.
Yeah,
it's
right
really
on.
Great. And look forward to hanging out and doing some work, hopefully, with you down the road here with MUFON.
Cool, good to hear.
I can't imagine seeing a UFO and then having you come. And
I want to see one just to see Amber's reaction, honestly.
In silver pants.
And
tinfoil hat. And he'd be like, so you saw a UFO, huh? Yeah. Tell me about it.
Marlboro hanging out of my mouth. It sounds like, too. Why is it that I have a smoker's lung every time? Whatever. All right, we got
a whiskey sour.
Hey, what's up? Hey, Brown.
I don't think MUFON's going to let
You're going to fall in love someday. You're going to be very happy. All right.
I know I'm in love with this website. The website is www.mimufon.org. That's MIMUFON.org. Bill Konkoleski, of course, the director. I think I called you the president of it, but it's the director of the Michigan chapter.
The boss.
Of
the Presidente!
The Godfather.
The Godfather.
Mutual UFO Network. Keep on abducting.
Ghostly Talk!
You have been listening to Ghostly Talk Paranormal Talk Radio. The Ghostly Talk audio program is distributed for free under the Open Content License. Please share with all your friends and support independent media.